Is everybody down? Okay. Good evening, and welcome to the regularly scheduled November 3rd meeting of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees. The board met previously in closed session. We discussed one personnel item, and the readout is, in closed session, the board provided direction to staff regarding the discipline of employee number 308833 in accordance with the rules and regulations of the classified service. The board also conferred with our labor negotiators regarding SLCTA, SEIU, CSEA, and I think those were the, that was what we discussed. Okay, we're now in open session. Do we have consensus on the order of business?
Yes.
Okay. Approval of the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes for October 20th, 2009.
We have a motion by Mr. Spadafore and a second by Mr. Buckman. Those in favor?
I'd like just a brief discussion.
Sure.
Kim, as much as I like being the most informal member of the board, on page 6, when it talks about reports of board members, it says, can we change that to Mr. Buckman? Thanks. Everybody...
Okay, so with that change, do we have approval on the minutes of the 27th? We do? Okay. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. Then we move to, let's see, now we move to the 27th. So,
yes, we do.
Mrs. Holmes, that was the 20th that we just approved. Now we're moving to the 27th. I will move approval of the minutes of the 27th.
I think John and I need to abstain due to our delinquent behavior.
We have a motion by myself, a second by Mr. Angel. Those in favor?
Good evening. My name is Terry Main, and I'm very pleased to be here tonight representing the Teach Foundation. For those of you who might not be familiar with TEACH in the audience, TEACH stands for the Endowment for the Advancement of Children. It is TEACH's mission to provide enrichment opportunities for students within the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. We do this by fundraising and working to build a permanent endowment that will provide a source of funding for grants that we award twice each year. Teachers, administrators, and district personnel are eligible to apply for these grants. All we ask is that these grants demonstrate that the funds will be used to help students in the district reach their full potential. It's my pleasure to be here tonight to present to you the Fall 2009 TEACH grant recipients. In this particular grant cycle, we have 19 recipients and have awarded just over $10,000. We started kind of a new tradition with the grant awards. I would like to invite the teachers themselves to come up and tell you about their grants, what they're doing for their students, and then give you the opportunity to ask any questions that you might have of them. So our first grant recipient tonight was the Physical Education Department at Morobay High School. They applied for a grant for dance instruction, and I don't believe either of the teachers, Jim Waska or Jack Greer, are here tonight, so we awarded them $700. And our second award was Daniel Freeman. And I don't believe Daniel's here either. He had another commitment. But Daniel's doing a very interesting project. He is actually leading a student-designed mini-documentary. They're going to have a professional screenwriter come in and help the students with the script. And they're going to actually film a mini-documentary. I think it'd be fabulous if we could get a screening somewhere down the road. But that should be quite an interesting project, and we've awarded them $800 for that. Next on our list is Fela Chapman from Morobay High School. She's going to tell you about two different grants that we awarded, one for the Pirate School Garden and one for some blackout shades for the cafeteria.
Well, I'm here again. We have to keep that garden going.
And so we asked for money for more planting beds, for irrigation, and for some ground cover. And we got a partial grant, which was very nice. So we're going to use that to build our first four-tiered strawberry bed and get that started for the spring. So if they offer us money in the spring, we'll try again. Small, skinny windows. We got a partial grant for that one, and so we are going to partially do all of the windows facing the quad, and it's a plastic laminate blind shade that will roll down, and then we've got valances to go with them. So we're very pleased about that, and we'll have them up before daylight saving time starts in the spring.
Thank you.
That award for the blackout shades was actually supposed to be a partnership between the... Yeah, and you're asking for money from black and blue and white, and the Aggie backers and the athletic department. So between all those groups, they've at least got enough money to get a significant number of the shades up. Is that right? Okay. Our next recipient this evening is from Pacific Beach High School, and it's Terry Jacobson, and she is going to tell you about an art program that she'd like to do for her students.
Good evening. I get the grant for having a guest artist in the classroom, so an actual artist from the community comes in and works with the students 2 days a week for a six-week block. We've done in the past watercolor, portraits, ceramics, sculpture, puppeteering. So this year I'm hoping we get another artist in that will do some more painting with the students, and that's what we're going to do with it. I think I've had some relatives of some board members help us out with this grant in the past, so we enjoy it very much. So thank you.
Our next recipient is also from Pacific Beach, and this is one of our time-honored favorites, and that is the Mock Trial Program.
Hi, I'm Melissa Newman, and I want to thank you so very much for your continued support of this really important program for Pacific Beach. For those of you who are not familiar, we compete with other schools in the county and the county courthouse, and we put on a trial. This year's trial is People v. Bratton. It's a murder case, murder by strangulation, and we're really very, very excited, and without the help of, without the help of Teach, we certainly wouldn't be able to continue the program, so we're very, very grateful.
Over the past 15 years or so, I've been going to this Latin convention, the state convention, and over 1,500 students from all over the California, from many of the best schools in California, compete in various things related to the study of the ancient world, such as Roman mythology, to the daily life of the Romans, ancient geography, to grammar, vocabulary, and all these wonderful events that really get kids excited. There's a lot of creative arts, too, from drawing and dramatics to costume design and videos and DVDs. It's just a tremendous amount of things that go involved, that are involved here. And so the kids, about 35 at least, are going from San Luis Obispo High School. And this year it will be in Irvine, California, at Woodbridge High School. They're hosting this year, and it will be April 23rd and 24th of 2010. And it is an overnight stay, Friday and Saturday, so we do need to find a hotel and pay for the transportation costs. So the costs are rising and extensive, and anything like this is a huge help to the kids who need to go, and I really appreciate Teach for helping us. So thank you very much.
Next, we have Scott Nairn, also from San Luis High School, and he's going to accept a grant on behalf of the newspaper.
Thank you very much. The most interesting part of this grant was it was written by the students in the newspaper class, so Tyler Davis got his first grant written, and it was approved, so I feel really glad about that. We're keeping print alive at the high school level as we transition into also going onto the web. and this money will help fund half of a paper. We do 9 a year. So thank you very much, and thank you, Teach.
Next, we have from San Luis High School, Autumn Jaso, who is going to tell you about a program for the ED Special Day class.
Hello and thank you. Our program is run off a behavior modification system called the Olympic Medal Program, and we reinforce all of our students' positive behaviors with behavioral incentives, field trips, staff-cooked meals, anything that gets them motivated to display positive behaviors, and this will help us out greatly. Thank you very much.
Next, we have Aaron Thompson from the Slow High Ag Department, who Aaron, I think, also told us that there's a significant, a lot of work that needs to be done to make those deer safe. So they're going to get some other students, I think, and some of the other programs to help provide fencing for that. So that'll be a great project for the school. Next, we move on to Laguna Middle School and Ava DeSanto, who is doing one of her, another one of her terribly creative projects called Celebrating Diversity.
Good evening. First of all, I want to say thanks to Teach because it allows us teachers to apply for grants that enrich our kids in outside of the box type ways. And this year, I applied for bringing my classroom alive, using a lot of hands-on art projects, visuals, and I simply want them to walk into my classroom. I teach 8th grade world history, 8th grade U.S. history and 7th grade world history, and I just want them to come into my classroom and just live it. So I'm always so grateful, and once again, thank you very much, and I'm excited about transforming my classroom. So thank you.
Next, we have Mary Spidell from Laguna Middle School, who's the school librarian, and she applied for a grant for Battle of the Books.
Thank you very much, and thank you to the Teach Foundation for this opportunity to apply for funding. Each year, our kids participate in the Battle of the Books, and they have to read about 15 novels. And I've applied for money so that we could buy multiple copies of those novels to give everyone a chance to read them, and also to purchase the matching AR tests, accelerated reader tests, for those that are available, so that our reading students can read these, the books on this list, as part of their classwork, so they will be encouraged to be part of the competition, and also to buy a few audiobooks, so that our EL students can listen to the book and then read along as they listen to the book and be more visible as part of this competition in the spring. So
That's
thank
awesome.
You very, very much.
Equipment for the last 4 years that we got for a grant from the government, it's been in a room about half the size that would fit all of our students. So when Diane Frost was at our school, we kind of brainstormed another place to put it, and we got the weight room moved, so now we can expand, use the equipment. We've already used it more this year than we have in the last 3 years, and now with the free weights, we can expand more of what the students are doing and work on their fitness so that it's more lifelong, and they see what it looks like in a, if they go to a health club, they kind of get that feel at our school. So I'd like to thank you for the opportunity, and hopefully you'll get to come out and see our fitness training center.
Now we're going to move on to Baywood, and we have Aaron Fay and Kathy Bonnet, who are going to tell you about kindergarten reading readiness.
Kindergarten, we've been noticing a need for some small group reading intervention with our kindergarten students, along with our guided process reading, just a little bit more of a small group intervention. So Kathy will tell you about it.
And
I noticed that there were several TEACH grants, and thank you so much for including us in your TEACH grant. We're very excited. So many of the TEACH grants required reading. You had the people going to the Latin convention, you have the newspaper, you have the Battle of the Books, you have a lot of different things, but you have to be able to read. And this, these materials and this program that we're getting is something that we hope will give the lowest performing children in kindergarten an opportunity to get ready to go, so when they walk into first grade, they're with the rest of the class. And if they're not quite with the rest of the class, they're at the point where they can benefit a little bit more from reading recovery. The program that we're purchasing with this money has been created by people that have been very involved with reading recovery. It's based on the same research-based brain information, and it ties together with reading recovery, and it also ties together with the whole comprehensive literacy approach that our school district is looking at. So we're very, very thankful. We're excited about having this money. We're going to be using some additional funds from just site funds from Baywood to finish purchasing it. And then if it's successful, I really would like to
commend the board for supporting the second and third graders at Bishop's Peak Elementary. What we are planning to do with the funds is establish a reading fluency lab, which is through the Read Naturally program, which is available at other sites but not at ours. So we're very excited about getting this in place, and the funds will develop the lab and expand it. And as said earlier, reading is very important to us.
We really want to thank the TEACH Foundation and all of you for supporting this. As we're doing the comprehensive literacy, we believe that part of that is certainly word attack and phonic skills. Part of it is deep comprehension, which Grace and I are doing a lot of with our second graders and third graders, have had it last year and are continuing. And as part of that, it's fluency. And we found that there was a need for fluency, and we wanted to put in this in place to make a more powerful program. So thank you very much.
Next, there was an award to Monarch Grove to Russ Rayburn and Catherine Kirby for the Salmon Enhancement Program, and that is a partnership with the Central Coast Salmon Enhancement Group, and the students in those classrooms will get to actually raise salmon and then take a field trip to release them. So we've funded this in the past, and we'll be doing that again. Next, we have just a couple more. We have Ken Hotelling from Monarch, who wants to take his kids on a field trip.
Yes, due to the generosity of the TEACH Foundation, some 60 sixth graders from Monarch Grove are going to be heading up to the Hearst Castle. And while we're there, we're going to be participating in a curriculum tour, which coincides nicely with the sixth grade standards, which has to do with ancient civilizations, the ancient Greeks and Romans, as well as the Egyptians. And for many of my students, and many of the students at Monarch Grove, this is not only the first time that's ever going to be to the Hearst Castle, but also maybe the first time to actually see some actual artifacts. So once again, thank you for the generosity of TEACH for opening the world for these kids. Thank you.
Okay, now we have Guy Crabb from TEACH, who wants to take his kids to Santa Barbara by train.
Thank you very much. I'd like to thank the TEACH Foundation to once again help us out with a wonderful activity. We're going to get on the train with Amtrak Kids and Train Program. That's this great program, about 6 o'clock in the morning, and take a train trip along the coast down to Santa Barbara and get a giant dose of California history. And we'll get home about 8 o'clock, so it's going to be a fun day of history and a great train ride that a lot of kids have never been on a train before, and this is a sweet and spectacular ride. So TEACH Foundation, thank you very, very much.
Okay. And last but not least, we have Pam Richardson from Student Services, and we have given them a grant for the autism students for a behavioral shaping program.
Well, this is my first time to be here, and I just thank you very much because I'm very excited. We're going to be using this money to fund specific reinforcers for our students that are grade appropriate, also cool, and hopefully highly motivating so that we can see behaviors in social and behavioral aspects shaped in a positive way that's going to transcend all across. So we thank you very much, and specific things that we'll be getting the program specialists together collectively, we'll be deciding on how we're going to start this. And I should have put in their names and mine for this grant. So on behalf of the other three program specialists, I thank you. All right.
Well, that about wraps it up. So we'll be back to see you again in late February, early March with another round of grants. Any questions?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Madam President?
Please.
When is the telethon going to be next year?
Well, the telethon is traditionally held in the springtime. We haven't set a date for it, so I can't tell you exactly when. Typically, it's held out in Morro Bay at the community center, but we have not yet begun to plan that. So we'll let you know at the next grant cycle, since they typically coincide somewhere around the same time frame.
And Terry, kind of doubling back on what Chris is saying, thank you. And please pass that along to everybody else that works with you regarding what the Teach Foundation does, because you can see all the excellent projects that are able to happen because of this fundraising. This is a tough time economically for a lot of different organizations, especially for nonprofits. So at any time, if you need to publicize what people can do to support the Teach Foundation or anything you want to add tonight, I think it's a time and an opportunity for the community to possibly help you.
This is so off point, but I have to say it. Today in the hardware store, there was a dad that came in with his two small children, and he was wearing a Teach T-shirt. And as I passed him in the center aisle, I said, "Nice shirt." And this teenager that was wearing a really ratty skateboard shirt said, "Thanks." And I said, "No, not you, the man in the Teach Foundation shirt." And then he said, "Thanks." So you are out in the community, and we are very appreciative of all that you do for our students. Okay, moving on then to, at the time the agenda was prepared, we had received no correspondence. So we move on to public comment.
I have, there's just one person who's requested. Let me put this on. There's one person from the audience who's requested to speak. It's Terry Connor, who's the executive director for the San Luis Obispo Rugby Football Club.
Congratulations to the TEACH grant recipients. Before I get started on my short presentation this evening, tomorrow is my wife and I are celebrating our 42nd anniversary. And before I left the house, she said, "Terry, play nice." So my name is Terry Connor. I know most of you. I am the executive, non-paid executive director of San Luis Obispo Rugby Club. We have an adult program that includes men and women rugby. We also have a high school program that includes freshman and sophomore programs and a varsity program, and we also have grade school rugby programs. The main reason for my appearance here this evening is to respectfully request the opportunity to have a practice field for the adult program. And I have asked for this particular facility and other facilities on numerous occasions verbally and in written form over the last several years. And I'm specifically asking for the old Pacheco site at the corner of Grand and Slack Avenue. We would like to, the adult program, as I said, is men and women. We would like to be able to use that facility through a permit process, spoken and with the grounds maintenance.
Mr. Parker?
No. I'm having a, Arnie. Thank you. Arnie Salacci, and he has told me personally that he feels that rugby would do no significant harm to the Pacheco Field, especially the condition that it's already in. Our rugby club would be willing to do anything in advance to prepare the field even better, and when we are done with it this coming 2009-2010 season, we would bring it back to better than what it is now through our own services and guidance by Arnie. Also, I just found out this evening that our high school program and our grade school program still do not have a permitted site for this coming year. Our high school program would like to be able to start practicing in December, beginning at 5:30 to 6:30 on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then also be able to have our youth begin their practice program beginning the first part of January from 3:30 to 5 p.m. So I would like to be able to put our entire program at the old Pacheco school site with your permitted, going through the permit process. I'm here to answer any questions. Before you ask your questions, our rugby club has been here in San Luis Obispo as a community-based program since 1975. Prior to that, we were campus program at Cal Poly beginning in 1965 and moved off campus in 1975. And I've been involved
Mr. Conrad,
since 1966.
I need to stop you now. The rules of the Brown Act preclude the board from asking you any questions.
Yes.
Because we can't engage in discussion on any item that hasn't been agendized and published for the public. So we're not really at liberty to ask questions of you tonight. We can just sit and listen, and you should be assured that we have heard you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
The next item on the agenda is reports by student representatives. We have two in attendance tonight, so I'll just take you in order.
Attorney that has worked with Pacific Beach Trial Program before, and he's now back to help again. We have three scrimmages scheduled so far, two against Low High and one that will include San Ynez High, Nipomo High, and possibly Templeton High. We also have the English department that recently took students to see a production of John Steinbeck. And the play was about the mice and men at the Cal Poly Performing Arts Center. It was a great performance and students really enjoyed it. In the Youth Career Exploration and Mentorship Program is finishing the Work Readiness Workshop. In this workshop, students have completed resumes, practiced job interviews, and learned how to obtain and complete job applications. Starting like in 2 weeks, we are going to have the students begin the job shadowing part. And we're going to, portion of the program is going to be to visit like various businesses around SLO. And today was our first day of the high school exit exam testing, and most students have reported a positive attitude on it. So we think they do pretty good. And most importantly for Pacific Beach, we received two teach grants for a mock trial and our guest artist program. We thank Teach for that.
And thank you.
We also, for the last meeting, they cut off the picture of A. Magnari, and we kind of wanted to pass it around so you guys could take a look at
Thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
Do you have any idea what the dates of the scrimmages are, or does Mrs. Newman know?
December, isn't it in December?
I think we have one December 8th against Sohai, the 12th. I think it will be in San Maria. That's the one with San Ynez.
I think the Sohai one is December 12th.
And then the one in San Maria, we're hoping it'll be at the county courthouse in San Maria, the Santa Barbara County Courthouse. That'll be really great experience to be in an actual courthouse. And that one will be against Santa Ynez, Napomo High, and maybe Templeton, maybe Arroyo Grande High. And then there'll be another one in January, but I don't have the date yet, and that'll be against Lohi. And then there'll be another one, hopefully, against Templeton, and that'll be
really entertaining. And this year we had a lot more school-wide involvement on our dress-up days where we do different themes, like Neon Day or where you dress to the theme. So that was nice to see more people getting involved with homecoming. And this month we have a few events. Last night, Cuesta College held a college night, and so we announced that in our bulletin for students, especially seniors who were interested. A lot of people went. I went. It was really great and informative to talk to a lot of different schools that I wasn't aware of yet, so that was nice to have a few more options. On the 4th, our choir is having a concert at Laguna Middle School with the Laguna Choir in their multipurpose room at 7 o'clock, so that'll be nice. This Friday on the 6th, we have our last home football game, and it's against Paso Robles at 7:30. On the 10th, our FFA department is having their Green Hand Banquet for their awards at 6 p.m. The 19th, Mr. Jones is having the Principal Parent Advisory Council meeting in our library, so he can discuss issues with the parents. That's at 7 o'clock. Our finals for this trimester start on the 20th. We have our first period final, and then the rest of the finals will be continued on the 23rd and the 24th. And our eligible sports right now are preparing for CIF, most notably our girls' tennis team. They're still undefeated in league, and I think they've only had one loss so far this season, so they're doing really well. And apart from that, we don't really have too busy of a month, which will be nice, take a break from the busyness of homecoming we had last month. But lastly, our school would like to thank the Teach Foundation for their support of our teachers and students and for the grants that our school receives. That's really nice. We really appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you both for coming. As we move on with our agenda, you are certainly welcome to stay and listen and participate, or the board is mindful that you have homework and other commitments, so if you'd like to leave, we thank you for coming, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Reports by school staff. Anybody? Administrators? Okay, Dr. Matakovich, the educational services update.
Yes, I'm very happy to give you an update in terms of our major projects in our division. First off, our adult school is pleased to be serving over 47 students in our diploma program right now. This number is up 50% over the last 2 years. We're glad our staff has been able to adjust to this increased number and procedures with Child Welfare Services and the Department of Social Services employees, so we feel like we've made a nice partnership there with those agencies. We are actively exploring other community collaborative efforts to service our families, such as partnering with the Operation School Bell to provide school clothes and the expansion of our tutoring program in conjunction with the County Office of Education. So kudos to Melissa and Ian Trejo for developing our grant. And speaking of partnerships, we're working closely with the Department of Public Health. This week, we've distributed information to all of our elementary school families, advising them of their students' option to participate in our school-based vaccination clinics, which tentatively are being scheduled during the month of November. Dr. Valentine has used our district auto dialer system to advise all of our elementary families, both in English and Spanish, of this opportunity. As we get more information, we'll be communicating with the elementary families, and we look forward to providing support to the secondary families as soon as we get direction from the Department of Public Health. So we're moving right along in that area. And now we have a guest tonight, Eric Jarvis, our teacher on special assignment, who'd just like to give you a brief update in terms of educational technology in our school district. Eric?
Dr. Matakovich, just one quick question before Mr. Jarvis starts.
Sure.
The influenza program where we're providing the place.
Yes, school-based clinics, yes.
Is that with cost or without cost to students?
My understanding is without cost.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Eric Jarvis, teacher on special assignment for instructional services in the area of educational technology. I'll be sharing a few projects that we're working on, our Public Education and Government, or PEG, fund. I'll be talking about round 6 and round 7 of our Enhancing Education Through Technology Competitive Grants, also known as EETT, and also our use of the formula or non-competitive funds. Our district received public education government funding for the purposes of increasing broadcasting capabilities. And these funds are being used to support existing digital media courses at Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo High Schools, and to fund a new digital media class currently being offered at Los Osos Middle School. We hope to invent or production so that may be broadcast on COE TV, which is produced by our San Luis Obispo County Office of Education. Classes on the proper use of this equipment are currently under development. Our 4th through 6th grade teachers at Baywood, Bishop's Peak, Del Mar, Hawthorne, Los Ranchos, Pacheco, Sinsheimer, and Seal Smith just completed round 6 of the Enhancing Education Through Technology grant. And that program brought additional classroom computers to the classroom, a set of student response clicker systems, and other peripheral educational devices. As a result of the teachers and students' successful completion of this program, the teachers worked very hard to successfully complete this program. Our district was awarded an additional $56,000 for the purpose of sustaining and supporting this program. Most schools chose to utilize these funds for purchasing additional LCD projectors and document cameras. Monarch Grove and Teach Elementary were part of the Round 7 EETT competitive grant, and they'll be completing their program at the end of this school year. We submitted an application for the EETT ARA, or American Reinvestment and Recovery Act, competitive grant on behalf of our 2 middle schools, and expect to be notified of the status of that grant sometime this month. A successful application would result in these schools receiving up to $300 per student, and 45 districts are competing for about $2.5 million, so it's competitive, but I think we have a good chance. Finally, we're using our formula EETT funds, the non-competitive funds that we received, to provide after-school classes for teachers in the area of educational technology. Currently offering classes for teachers on utilizing the online materials that accompanied our recent math adoption. We're also offering a class on Moodle, an online course management system that the students and teachers access via the Educational Technology Center, or ETC, portal that's managed by our county. Additional EdTech classes will be offered throughout the year pending available funding and teacher interest. And it's an honor to work with the teachers as they integrate technology into the classroom. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jarvis. Any questions? Okay.
So very happy to see you applied for that ARA grant on the technology, and good luck.
Thank you very much. I think we have a good chance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Annual update on parent involvement. Mrs. Delkus-Camp.
TA and School Site Council. Our schools also offer a variety of opportunities for our parents to feel included and supported. And I listed several of those in the item. Also in this item, we included some of our challenges, and at least 2 of our challenges have to do with trying to involve parents whose primary language is not English. And in addition, getting responses on the parent surveys that our schools administer. Our district and school staff work on towards these two addressing these challenges on an ongoing basis, and it's encouraging to us when we're able to review results of our parent surveys that indicate an overall level of satisfaction with our school programs and with the welcoming climates of our schools.
Thank you, Mrs. Delkus-Camp. Mr. Buckman.
Yes, Rita, thank you very much, because this is so important, because we know that parent support is so important to student achievement. So I think this is really nice. I was also wondering if we could possibly get in the Friday memo the survey results, the results from the last survey.
They would be from every school that administered it. So would you like all of them? I mean, they're pretty long. They're extensive.
Okay. So it hasn't been aggregated?
Not from all of the schools. What I do is I just review the evaluations that they submit, and that's how I'm able to get a sense in these two areas.
May I schedule some time with you, too, so I don't have to burden everybody with the paper?
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Status of the state budget, Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Madam President. Thanks to Mr. Unger and the conversation he had today, some of the information coming out of the state is going south on us in terms of their fiscal condition. There is a report that the state structural deficit has grown from $15 billion to $20 billion by 2010-2011. So we can look for continuing fiscal crises in our future related to funding from the state. One of the aspects of their lack of being able to fund their statutory obligations to school districts is something that they call the deficit factor. And a deficit factor is the amount of money that they are withholding that they are legally obligated to pay. It's in essence a loan that the school districts are making to the state, and they will be obligated to repay it someday. However, on a current year-over basis, the amount of the deficit as it grows becomes very troublesome for districts in being able to afford to pay for whatever continuing and necessary obligations they have to incur to operate. Our current deficit factor is 18.355%. The speculation is that in 2 years it will exceed and equal almost 21% of a revenue limit that a district would receive from state funding. This is significant for a basic aid district in that there is a fair share of pain that we would incur that equals a revenue limit district's deficit. So this factor will continue to grow. And it could reach $1,500 per student if it does hit the 20% rate. In regards to property taxes within the state of California, the real estate bottoming out has a significant impact on our revenue limit, our property tax revenues. One of the aspects of Proposition 13 was it set a limit on an increase in property taxes that an individual homeowner would have to pay on a year-over-year basis. There's also a little known clause in there which allows for a reduction in property values should certain events occur. Proposition 13 has been in place since 1978. It is in excess of 30 years. In that time, only 5 years has the California Consumer Price Index been less than 2% in its increase. Never has it had a negative formulation, an answer to their to the conglomeration of all of the different economic factors that make up the California Consumer Price Index. But the point would be that if it falls into a negative, then the base amount of your property taxes would be decreased accordingly. And through the first 10 months of the fiscal year, the amount of the negative is equal to 0.4%. So it's a negative 0.4% in the California Consumer Price Index. If that bears out for the next 2 months, then in fact property taxes throughout the state will be decreased by whatever that negative number is. That has a significant impact because it's a reduction in the base upon which property taxes are figured, and it's more significant than if it were a revaluation across the certain properties within that have been purchased within the last 5 years, let us say. So it's every property would have a base decrease. We have to watch that very carefully. The impact on our property taxes would be significant when combined with a continuing to decline, increasing foreclosures, property values within our local area. So we have some significant issues to watch for in the next 6 months.
Thank you. Item 5 is approval of revisions to Board Policy 51445.12, Students, Search and Seizure, third reading. Dr. Matakovich.
Yes, Madam Chair. The policy is before you. The adjustment made from the last meeting was a reference to the vehicle code section 21113, and so we've added that reference and are available for discussion about this item and hopefully approval.
Mr. Buckman.
Hi, thank you, Madam Chair. What I just wanted to share is that the board had raised some concerns about the section that Ms. Matakovich brought up, and they were answered. Did generate another letter from the attorney that made some recommendations that would ensure success of this part of the policy, and it does go into some detail. However, I think much of it can probably be covered in the ARs.
Okay. Mr. Unger.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I support the board policy as written for the third reading. And depending on whether anybody else wants to make comments, I would make a motion that we approve item number 5, approval of revised board policy 5145.12.
I'll second that.
Well, for my part, I'm really of two minds on it. I don't want to limit our options in the event of a real problem. On the other hand, I continue to have issues around search, our ability and exercising our ability to search without cause. Those are my two minds on it. Okay, so we have a motion on the table. Mr. Unger, motion by Mr. Unger, second by Mr. Spadafore, was it? Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. So we have 5 in favor and 1 opposed. Item 6, reapportionment of personnel. Oh, I beg your pardon, reapportionment. Yes, Mr. Taylor, we are going to reapportion you. Reappointment of Personnel Commissioner, Mr. Robinette.
Yes, thank you. The term of office for the board's representative to the Personnel Commission, Mr. Kent Taylor, who came and made a presentation to you on our annual report about a month ago. His term expires on December 1st. He has expressed a willingness to be reappointed if that's the board's desire, and I would strongly recommend that. He comes with a great deal of background in the public sector, working in city and county governments, and has a very good understanding of civil service types of commissions, and has provided excellent support, I think, to the board, to our personnel commission. So it's our recommendation that he be reappointed.
Okay, I'll move reappointment of Commissioner Kent Taylor. Is there a second? Is there discussion?
I'll second.
Okay, so motion by myself, second by Mr. Buckman. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously, and we, I think I can speak for the entire board when we extend our thanks to Mr. Taylor for all of his work. Moving on to the action consent agenda, please let me know if you would like anything pulled. Item 7 is approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Item 8, approval of single school plans for student achievement. Item 9, acceptance of donations. Item 10, approval of furniture and equipment requests. Item 11, approval of purchase orders. Item 12, approval of warrants and payroll.
I'll make a motion to approve 7 through 12 inclusive.
We have a motion then by Mr. Spadafore and a second by Mr. Unger. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. Moving on then to advance agenda, is there anything anyone would like to begin the process of placing on the agenda?
I had asked Dr. Valentine to share with you the resolution from CSBA on the 2010 census week. The census is just so important. It determines how federal dollars are distributed, how resources are given to communities, and this would show that the board is encouraging community participation. Sometimes it's difficult to get people to participate. So I would ask that this be put on a future agenda item. However, if there's consensus of the board to just move this forward to the next agenda, we've done that in the past, and if that's acceptable, I would ask for that.
Mr. Unger, were you responding to this?
I was just going to support Mr. Buckman on this. And also I would point out that especially for there are undercounted groups of people, and I think encouragement for those undercounted groups of people is really important for not only San Luis Obispo County and our district, but also all of California. So I would support moving this forward to the next board meeting.
Mr. Spadafore.
Yeah, I would support that also. So if that happens, I guess we need a majority vote of the board members here tonight to put it on the next agenda item. And I'll make a motion. I'll let Mark make a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we move this forward quickly and get it on the next board agenda.
Okay. And that was seconded by...
I'll second that.
Mr. Unger. Motion by Mr. Buckman, second by Mr. Unger. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes unanimously. And if... Mr. Angel.
I would like to ask Dr. Matekovich if we can get an update on what prevention and intervention we do as a district for gang activity, and any board policies that are available on that. And you don't need to, if it's not an advance agenda, I don't need, it's just a Friday update.
Oh.
And I would also support that as at least starting the information gathering process as a Friday packet.
Okay, I already asked Dr. Matekovich if she would get together with the high school and middle school principals and ask them what their current experiences are, what if they feel there's a problem, the depth of the problem, and what resources they have to deal with them, and if they need additional resources, what those might be. And I was anticipating we would get that probably in a Friday packet. Would that suffice for a start?
I think so. I think that's what we're all in agreement on.
Okay.
I don't perceive much of a problem. I just want to be as proactive as we can.
And I would just like to be more informed because it's something that's kind of new to me. Okay, reports by board members.
Dr. Valentine, I'm sorry, jump in. I think one of the pieces of business that was raised, and Mr. Unger, I believe you raised it, was regarding information concerning some head injury prevention and information. And Mr. Unger, you might want to speak to that and see where the
right
is.
And I understand that our school district, both Morro Bay and San Luis Obispo High School, are in cooperation and partnership with San Luis Sports Therapy, I believe, to provide actually baselines for our athletes prior to the season, so they can look at the baseline data in case there's head injuries, and at football games, I know particularly when a student's taken a hard hit. The baseline data is available to make decisions on whether to allow the student to go back in the game or not. And I understand it's working here in our district. I'm really happy about that. I don't know if the story was told at the last meeting, but in discussion with my brother-in-law, who happens to be involved in this, and I need to disclose that, he said that two cases of students that had the baselines actually didn't happen at football games, but they were students who were injured otherwise, but because they had the baseline data, they were able to go back and look at that data and determine whether they had actually had concussions or not, and these were outside of school accidents, but really clearly beneficial to our students. So I think that's something that is really exciting. I've encouraged the group that's involved in that to actually take it to CIF, because I think it's a statewide issue, and I think it's something that we should be looking at across all of California. And I think it's something, depending on what CIF's already doing, that could be incorporated into their coaches' training. So I'd like to see, I'm glad we're doing it, and we should keep it up and support that safety for our students.
Mr. Unger, I'm sorry, as a follow-up to that, we were talking about the possibility of scheduling some time at a board meeting. I don't know what the board's pleasure on that
might be. And the folks that are doing that, I think, believe Dr. Schickler, who's one of the local orthopedists, has been spearheading that in our area. And I think that they would be willing to come and do a short presentation for the board about what the actual program looks like and how it's helping students be safe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to just try and piggyback on Chris mentioned CIF, and what I'm wondering is whether CIF has actually done anything. And so I'm wondering if it would be possible for us to contact CIF, see if this becomes a real official CIF pilot program, and possibly if there's any dollars to support us.
As part of the board's interest in this issue, trying to accumulate statistics about head injuries, CIF does not accumulate any kind of database about head injuries, nor does the insurance companies, nor do any regional or any legislative or public entity body that we can find. Head injuries are one of those issues that are not ignored, but definitely not reported or accumulated as an issue. So we've run into a kind of a brick wall in terms of trying to come up with any kind of statistics, even within our own schools. So it's one of those issues that probably needs to have some sort of studies attached to it and a beginning somewhere of a baseline database.
You know, the National Football League is starting finally to begin studying the effect of head injuries, concussions on players, and they have a plan, I think it's called 98, where players who have had brain injuries now can receive additional medical care and some payments, and they're doing a baseline study. And I'm wondering if they would have any information or funds available, because I heard they're moving it through the colleges, but it seems like if you educated the high schools, then you could prevent it from starting at an earlier age, which may be interesting to them. But they seem to be the most organized body now that is studying the effect that head trauma has. Okay.
And so I guess what Dr. Valentine is talking about is, would the board support a short presentation by the people that are doing that in San Luis Obispo County and explaining what they're doing in our high schools and how that's benefiting our students?
So, Chris, are you asking this to be a future agenda item, or is it?
I'm not sure that we're asking for it to be an action item, just perhaps a little bit of time above and beyond the 3 minutes to do a presentation to the board on that issue.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Okay, so who will contact whom to arrange that? Dr. Valentine, are you putting that on
I've
your
plate?
I've got
a contact. Okay. Thank you.
Are there any reports by board members?
Seeing it's not near 9 o'clock, I figured 45-minute report, if that's okay.
Okay.
Now, you know, I just wanted
Can
to...
Can we adjourn first and then let you sit here and do that?
Okay. I just wanted to... It's a busy time for teachers, and having attended parent conferences and whatnot, I just wanted to thank all our professional faculty for the amount of work they do to get ready for their conferences and the amount of time they spend above and beyond the school day meeting with us parents who work.
Thank you, Mr. Unger.
And just an acknowledgement to our Teacher of the Year, Carol Camo. The Teacher of the Year dinner was last Thursday night up in Paso Robles at the Culinary Arts Institute. Many of us were able to attend, and then Carol brought a team of people from Baywood, and she's just a fantastic teacher, and it was real nice to visit with her, her husband, her niece, and just to hear all the inspiring things that she had to say, and to hear all the inspiring words from all the other teachers. So congratulations to Carol Camo, our Teacher of the Year, and then to all the Teachers of the Year in San Luis Obispo County.
Okay, seeing no other board reports, then this meeting stands adjourned.